great to be here. Amen. God is with us. Let's just say that. Amen. When I say God is with us.
Amen.
That's so good. So good. Today we're going to be talking about the presence of God. And I'm excited about the presence of some of you who I haven't seen in a little bit. You know, sometimes presence, being present is you might be at a location. You might be sitting in the room, but not present. You know, as a matter of fact, if you're a teacher or probably even a wife, you've experienced someone being in the room with you and they weren't present, right? Really. But on the other hand, sometimes you're not in the room and you're still present because we have several online people. I can remember Steve Lotchspeech. He's gone to Australia and he's still found a way to join us right here. Yeah. And but recently he was gone to another place, a farther away place, COVID place. And you know, yeah, everybody say ew. Yeah, and that's hard. That's hard. But I'm glad, you know, he's present today, right? But there's so many people who are not in the room, they're still present. And so today, this is kind of the theme for what we're going to talk about is the presence of God. We're going to talk about a story in the Bible, and then we're going to talk about the person and how that person experienced the presence of God. We're also going to take communion. If you're online or even sitting here, you might have thought we forgot that. We didn't. We'll do that at the end. So again, if you're at home, have your stuff with you ready to go. We'll do it in a little while. So today we're going to think about these things as we jump into the story of Hagar in Genesis 16 and Genesis 21. If you have a Bible, you might want to read along, even though I'm going to tell the story well. So, you know, either way. I want you to think about these three phrases. God sees you, God hears you, and God is with you. These are things that I want us to experience. I want us to experience these things. And sometimes we don't feel this way, so it is by faith that we experience these things. And I'm going to kind of contrast today, every once in a while, a little bit of the difference between faith and feeling. Because sometimes you choose. Faith is a choice. It's a decision I'm going to make. I'm going to choose to believe something, even though I might not be feeling it right there at the moment. And this is common among us, is this, the idea of loss is common. Loss is a normal kind of human experience. We go through life losing things and gaining things. Sometimes it's a trade-off. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes loss happens and it makes a person sad. And this happens, I've lost a dog, and I was sad. But there's a lot of other things I've lost, and sadness sometimes follows that. And since sometimes sadness can get a grip on you and grow in you to where it becomes despair, and you're feeling helpless. A person feels helpless, or they feel hopeless, and they experience despair. Some of the things we lose, you know, we might lose a loved one, a person, a family member, and they pass away. And or maybe it's a job. How many of you have lost a job and were sad over it? Not as many as it should be, but okay. But just feel the pain right here. Feel the pain. You guys are doing well. Sometimes you lost a friendship, and sometimes you've lost hope. Sometimes there's a dream you had, and your dream dies. Or perhaps it's just, for me, lately, a loss of energy. And I'm like, where did that energy go? I can't eat my way back into it. I can't exercise my way back into it. I'm trying all the things you're supposed to be doing. I haven't started taking amphetamines yet. But, I mean, you know, it's like loss of energy. Or a person's health, Or confidence, just lost my confidence. Or maybe it's, you know, peace. I'm anxious. And I used to have peace, but now I have anxiety. So there's a loss, a sense of loss that happens. And it is in this moment of loss that I really want us to think about experiencing the presence of God. And for us to say, when we experience loss, God is with us. Later, we're going to listen to this song by Tasha Layton. And if you're listening right off the bat, you're going to think it's someone else, right, Danny? You're going to think this is Lauren Daigle, but it's Tasha Layton. And here's the lyrics of this song. It's called Into the Sea is the name of the song. It says, my heart is breaking in a way I never thought it could. My mind is racing with the question, are you still good? Can you make something from the wreckage? Would you take this heart and make it whole again? I've blamed myself. And if I'm honest, maybe I've blamed you too. Have you all ever blamed God for stuff happening in your life? But you would not forsake me because only good things come from you. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath my feet might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Let's pray together. God, we pray together this morning here in this building and around our city and around the state and around the world. And we pray, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the goodness, the glory of your goodness. We long to be filled up with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're studying through Genesis, and we're into the Torah. The Torah, of course, is instructions about how to live life. It's not just a list of rules. It's not just the law. It's instructions about how to live. It's about life, and it's about how to live life. From the Torah, we come to understand how we're supposed to live it. And it happens in a couple of ways. One is identity and another is morality. Our identity is who we are and who God is. And so we come to know that God is sovereign. He's in charge. And who we are his children and he loves us. These are two really important things, story after story after story. God's in charge and he loves us. Okay? God's in charge. He loves us. That's our identity. And then morality. It's this. It's how to live. It's the idea of right and wrong. And both of these things are told in stories, not just rules. There's going to be some rules come later, but it's through stories. And the stories teach us how to treat each other, for one thing. How do we treat another human being? And not only that, it gives us guidance for the decisions that we're going to make every day. We're going to make decisions about how we spend our time, about how we spend our money, about who we associate with. It's about how we live our life. We're going to get some instructions, some guidance about these things every day. And so it's at this point that we come in our story of Genesis to the story of Hagar that's told mostly in chapter 6. Abraham went down to Egypt right after he was called. There was a famine in the land in chapter 12. He went down. This is one of the times he tried to pass his wife off as his sister and let the king have her, which, you know, I want to think again in several things that Abraham does. While he may be the greatest, the dude is at times a moron. I mean, he's trying to give his wife away. No, you don't do that. So anyway, but he leaves Egypt, and it's probably where Hagar came from. And so God's promised Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a son. because it's the big deal. The big deal is he's going to have a nation after him. That's one of the promises that God has given him. And he's going to have a son. But Abraham and Sarah, they're having no babies. And they're in their 90s. And so they begin to kind of panic, right? God's not getting the job done. He made us a promise. It's not happening. And so Sarah decides, she hatches this idea that I'm going to let my servant go sleep with my husband, and then I'll have a son. Now, does anybody in here see something maybe wrong with that? You know, maybe something not smart about that. And Abraham, like other guys, men in the Bible, sometimes they just sit there and be stupid themselves and totally silent. Okay. And so, you know, I don't know about what this would have looked like. But I would call it the walk of shame. I mean, dude, you're crawling over to your servant's tent and having sex with her. What? This is God's man? And this always, you know, God allows some things to happen, but it always has bad results. Every time there's sex with a concubine in the Bible, you know, why did God jump in and stop that? But he doesn't. But there's bad results. Anytime God has two wives, over and over and over, two wives, back in the Bible days, even then, not a good idea. Always going to cause trouble. And in this case, of course, it was. And Hagar, Sarah and Abraham are using Hagar, what? As property, as a possession. What? You have sex with my husband because you're my slave. It's not going to turn out good. So, Hagar gets pregnant. And when she does, Sarah gets frustrated because, you know, she really wanted to be pregnant, but she wasn't. And so the Bible says she begins to treat Hagar with contempt. Well, she begins to abuse her. So much so that Hagar runs away. Hagar runs away into the desert. And at this moment is when God sends an angel to take care of her. Because you know what? Even though she had run away, God was still with her. And at this moment, the angel gives her instructions, because what she needs is some, what do I do? What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? I did what they wanted me to do. I'm carrying the baby. Now, on the other hand, she was a little sassy about it too. You know, she didn't mind. I mean, that's my translation. Trust me on the Hebrew here. She got sassy and sort of was showing off. I'm pregnant, you're not. I don't know that women would really do that, but, you know, it seems like in this case they did. And so Sarah mistreats her. She runs off. And she, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I'm out here in the desert, and I'm alone. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And the angel says, go back. Go back, submit. God is going to bless you. What? God, this is an Egyptian slave. God is with you. And especially in this chapter, God saw you. He's always seen you. And I want you to think about it in your life too. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. When trouble has come your way, he's not absent. He's right there. He sees it. And he cares about it. And so Hagar goes back. And a few years later, Hagar has a baby boy. And his name is Ishmael. And when he comes back, when she has the baby begins to grow. And once again, Sarah's a little frustrated. But also what happens? Sarah has a son. Yeah, Sarah has a son. And Ishmael is a little older than Isaac. Isaac is Sarah's son. But what begins to happen out in the playground or somewhere where the boys are hanging out is Ishmael begins to, it says, make fun of, or he's not playing nice with his little brother Isaac. Now, some of you are big brothers and sisters, and some of you are little brothers and sisters, but if you're a big brother, you kind of think it's your job, you know, to abuse your youngers. But it wasn't. It wasn't. And so Sarah is hacked off. As a matter of fact, she sees Ishmael making fun of Isaac, and she says, I'm done. You're out of here forever. Now, Abraham, once again, and God says, hey, do what Sarah says. Now, we'll come to God's part of this in a little bit. But so they give Hagar and Ishmael some supplies. Interestingly enough, I want to say they gave them just enough stuff to go out into the desert and die. I mean, really, that's what Abraham did. Again, Abraham, this whole episode, not Abraham's finest moment. But so Hagar is once again out in the desert, and she has no more supplies. They've run out of water. And what happens is she puts Ishmael under a tree. Back when we were doing the Dr. Ray things about trees, we learned about the different kind of trees that he would have put Ishmael under. She puts him under a tree, and she goes, it says about the length of how far you could shoot an arrow. So maybe 50 yards or so. And the boy's going to die. And she's going to die. And she has decided this is where we're going to die. And then again, the angel comes. And this time he says, God has heard your son. He sees you, but he also hears you. He's heard you. And he's going to provide for you. And right at this moment, she lifts her eyes and she sees a well. There's water. I wonder how much often that's the case with us, that the thing we need is right over there, but we're so much in despair, we can't see it. We just can't see that there's what I need. It's right there. But we didn't see it. But God heard the boy. God heard Hagar, and he provided water. And not only that, he said, okay, you're not going back this time. You're going to stay here. I'm going to give you what you need to grow a family. And eventually, I'm going to make this promise to you. Ishmael is also going to be the father of a great nation. Now, two people got this. Two women in the Bible, all the Bible, got this promise to them. One was Sarah, but another was Hagar. Hagar got the same promise that your offspring, your descendants, Hagar, your descendants are going to be as many as the stars. They're going to be uncountable. They're going to be so many, your descendants. Now, we also always say this about Sarah and Abraham. Her descendants, Sarah's descendants, became all of the Jews and Christians. We got in on that basket too. For Ishmael, it's Muslims who trace their heritage back through Ishmael to Abraham. Abraham, the father of the Muslims. Ishmael also had this other thing kind of riding on his back. The last thing it says about Ishmael and about Ishmael's sons is that they lived in hostility toward their brothers for the rest of their lives. They were always picking a fight. So it's good news, bad news. God is with us. Some takeaways. I want to talk about some things for us today. First of all, I want to talk about presence. There's five things I want us to take away from this today, and the first one is presence. Sometimes you don't feel God's presence, but that doesn't mean he's not. Can we nod about that? We don't feel it. So what we do in this moment is we choose. This is what faith is, that I believe in something that I don't feel. And I believe that God loves me even when I feel unloved. But I believe it, and I'm going to choose to believe God's promises even when they're delayed. Man, I'm a pretty patient person concerning, if I compare myself to some other people, especially some who are around me a lot. But man, I'm tired of waiting sometimes. Let's go. Where's the promise? Where's the joy sometimes, right? God said, this is what you're going to be. This is what you're going to experience if you're my son, if you follow me. And I'm not. It ain't happening. So what do I think? I choose to trust God. I choose to feel his presence. Because my faith says God is with me. Now, here's what happens to me often when I let my faith lead me and I say God is present, then I begin to feel it. Now, I also have a couple of things that help me. One is songs. Man, I love Christian music of all kinds. I love old hymns. I love rap Christian music. I don't care what it is. If it's got the message of Jesus, it just seems good. Now, I've heard some not so good presentations, perhaps, but usually that's my own singing in the shower. But a couple of these songs. One, we sing this one pretty regularly. These are both Casting Crown songs. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will. We sang that just last week, just be held. Or this song, Praise You in the Storm. These are the lyrics of Hagar's song. I'd call this Hagar's song. I was sure by now, God, that you would have reached down and wiped my tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. Right? This is God whispering, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the one who gives and the one who takes away. Every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Another thing I have in my house and in my car, I got little different. Some of them are knickknacks, and some of them are actually paintings. I'm going to show you one that, so I see things that remind me that God is with me. I see things. And one of them is a picture that was painted by one of the girls who worked for me at summer camp back, you know, lifetime ago. And it's a picture of, she thought of it in terms of Aslan from yeah, all that. C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. But I also think of it as the Lion of Judah, and this is it. Yeah, it hangs, whoops. It hangs in my living room, and so I'm seeing it all the time. When I wake up and I go out into the house, I can see it. And when I see it, I think, God is with me. He's with me. He's not always roaring, you know, but God is with me. And sometimes it's the Lord's Prayer. Man, if I sink into a funk, you know, I'll start on the Lord's Prayer. I'll just keep going and going and going and going and repeat and repeat and repeat and go. But God's presence isn't the only thing. God is with you, but also God is providing for you. When he showed up that first time in chapter 16 with Hagar, what did he give her? He didn't give her any water. He didn't give her any food. He gave her guidance. And a lot of times that's what I need. I need some instructions. And God says he's given me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives me comfort. When I think of the Spirit, God's Spirit in me, one of the things the Spirit does is it comforts me, it calms me down. When I understand that God is with me, presence, then he provides me with things that I need, guidance and comfort. And now sometimes he provides me with some other things too. like hot coffee. But sometimes it's mainly the things he's providing are in my heart. It's direction. It's endurance, you know, and he's providing for me. Then the next thing is he has a plan. He had a plan for Hagar. He provided for her, but he also had a plan. Hey, your future is going to be this. You've got a future. And we've studied this in Jeremiah 29. God has a plan for us. He has a plan that we're going to have a future. And what is it going to be? It's going to be shalom. Peace. He wants me to experience his goodness, his peace, his certainty. Like in the song, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Some of us are facing the death of loved ones. It's going to be okay. You know why? Pretty soon I'm going to join them. I'm ready to go, by the way. If it happens to me before I see you again, say, I'll be right with you, Bob, because I'm ready to go. I don't know. You're ready to go? I'm ready to go. Mary Beth says, hold on a minute, but I'm just saying, I'm ready to go. He has a plan for us. Then also, this is important. We choose what we're going to do with what he gives. We choose. He's got his presence. We can ignore it. He's let us have that choice. He's given us provisions. We don't have to use them. He has a plan for us. We don't have to follow it. His plan says this. Our plan might be different. We don't have to do it. This was the case of Ishmael. He wasn't required to be, well, the scripture says he's going to be a wild donkey of a man. Now, I think of some other words you put in there. The dude was not a good guy. He didn't have to even choose. We get to choose what we do with the gifts God's given us. But, and this is the biggest takeaway of all, no matter our choice, God's faithful, even when we're not. I mean, I want you to think about this as we're going through the book of Genesis. The heroes, at best, are inconsistent. That's giving them the benefit of the doubt. I want that same benefit, by the way. Shady is one of the words that I would come up with them. I mean, Abraham, Isaac's going to do the same thing. Jacob, shady. The women, they're not too much better. Rebecca, Sarah, shady, selfish. But here's the good news. God did not give up. God kept on coming to the rescue. He's going to use them to rescue us, but they needed a rescue too. And he kept on, kept on, kept on, kept on. I mean, I could see at the end, he just gave up right after that first journey down to Egypt. And he says, what are you thinking, Abraham? You're giving your wife away? No, that wasn't God. God has seen you at your worst. He's heard you at your worst. He's with you at your worst. And at all of these, he loves you. And in all of these, he's saying, oh, come on back. I have a way for you. You've walked off this way. I have a way for you. This is called God's grace. Man, who's gotten more of God's grace than the story of Abraham? Abraham, grace after grace after grace. It wasn't because he was good enough that he's the father of Israel. It's because of God's grace. And of course, the greatest demonstration of God's grace was when he sent his son. He sent his son to rescue me and to rescue you and to redeem us. And he did it through death on the cross. We're going to begin our communion time today. So get your stuff ready. And I want to start with a reading from chapter 12 of Hebrews. You might know that chapter 11 of Hebrews gives the most discussion of Abraham and everything he did than any other place in the Bible except Genesis. Romans has a bit, and Galatians does too, but not as much as Hebrews, tells the story of Abraham. But when he's through with all those other mighty men and women of God, he says this, and this is for a person who is feeling loss or need for direction or feeling just weakness. Like sometimes that's what I feel. People ask me to describe how you felt when you had COVID or how you felt after you got the shot. I just felt weak. And yet sometimes it's not about COVID that's causing me to be weak. I just feel I need God's strength. So this is what Hebrews says, and I want you to think about this as we prepare for communion. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud, of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's what I want to do. I want to do that, but I need some help. So he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. As we take communion this morning, we're thinking about him. We're remembering the cross. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, or think about him, who endured such opposition. He endured the cross so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. One of the reasons Hebrews says that we should consider and think about the cross is so that we won't grow weary and we won't lose heart, that we will experience the presence of God even when we don't feel it. We'll experience it. So, we're going to take communion, and I want you to have your items, your, what do you call these? Juice and not bread with you in your hand, but don't take it yet. We're going to listen to a song, the song I read you the lyrics of, and you're going to go, we're going to have a couple of verses and then the chorus, and at the end of the first chorus, the lyric will come, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And I want you to just hold in your hands the elements until it gets to that first, I'm going to be okay. And then after she sings those lyrics, I'm going to be okay, then go ahead and take your elements as we listen to the rest of the song. When the song is over, I'll have a closing thought, and then we'll have a closing song. Let's pray first. Father, we want to experience the glory of your goodness. We want to be more aware of your presence. And so we come today remembering the cross and thinking of the great love you have for us then and now. Your love, bigger than any obstacle we face, your love. We love you. Help us to experience that today as we take communion. In Jesus' name, amen.